Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting through the Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me on the day of Friday, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and viewers of Mani channel, in the Quran and the Hadith, there are many references that tell us to eat halal and to stay away from haram. But what happens is normally a lot of us just think that eating halal and staying away from haram is the product itself. That this cake, this biscuit, this thing that I'm eating is halal or is it haram. And we'll look at the ingredients, and if it has an halal sticker on it, or if it has suitable for vegetarians on it. And even then we should be very careful, because just because it's suitable for vegetarians doesn't mean to say it's halal. It can still have alcohol in it. And so we think that this is it. That is all we need to do. But in the Quran and the Hadith, it's a lot more than that. Because the money that is involved in buying that, the money that you've earned and how you've earned the money to buy that food, to buy that thing, that also needs to be halal as well. The leader of the millions of Hanafis, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala, he ran a business. And the Imam was an accomplished cloth merchant. He used to sell material. And he made sure that his business ran upon the Islamic rulings at the time. Sayyidina Hafs, one of his workers, said that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah conducted business with me. And when he's sending me the goods, he would say to me, "Oh Hafs, there are some defects in this cloth." So he would tell him that, "Look, there's some defects in this cloth. So when you sell it, make sure that you tell the people that there's something wrong with it. This is what's wrong with it." They didn't hide any of the defects. And one day what happened was, he forgot to tell people. He sold the material. He knew there was a defect in the material, and he forgot to tell the customer. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah found out about that, he was so grieved and so worried that he gave the value of all of his cloth, all of his cloth that he had, he gave the value of all of his cloth in sadaqah. This is because he was so concerned that I had sold something that was defective, and I didn't tell people, because if I tell you that, look, my phone, this button's not working, that's not working, it's got a scratch in it, and this and that, and you buy it, then it's okay. But if I say, look, it's a perfect phone, and I sell it like that, and you don't see the phone, and I don't tell you its defects, then that is wrong. And this is what our deen teaches us, that whenever you sell something, make sure you tell them the defects, make sure you tell them what's wrong with it. Nowadays, what happens is we will lie, we'll swindle, we'll cheat, just to get a few extra pennies. People will come into our shop and say, "Oh, you know, I'll just go to the other shop and I'll check what they've got." And what happens is we start lying then. "No, no, don't go there. He sells damaged goods. No, 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 don't go there. He's really dodgy." You're lying, you're slandering, you're backbiting. Why? To make a few pennies? And yet you yourself, when you're selling your own commodity, you're not being truthful. When you're selling a car, you're not telling people the faults in the car. When you're selling material, you're not telling the faults in the material. When you're selling a mobile phone, you don't tell them there's a problem with the battery. The battery doesn't last long on this phone. You will hide these defects on purpose. Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah said that some religious figures have stated that the previous sins of Muslims are forgiven when he eats the first morsel of halal food. And whoever searches for halal income and whilst doing so is made to stay at a place of indignity, his sins will fall from him the way leaves fall from a tree. People think that, "Oh, I can't do that job. You know, I need this kind of job, I need that kind of job." And yet in looking for that kind of job that fits your status, if you want, you end up earning haram. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is saying that even if you stay in a place of indignity, you stay in a place of disgrace, but your income is halal. Your income is halal. You're working in a place where nobody else wants to work because the smell's there. You're working in a place because it's so dirty, but nobody else wants to work there. But your income is halal. Then as a result of that, your sins will fall away from you in the same way that tree leaves fall away from the tree. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in many, many places the importance of halal systems. And you know, this is the beauty of our deen. As Muslims, unfortunately, we don't study our deen. Our deen has given us guidance for everything. And as Muslims, there is part of the room, there is knowledge that is obligatory upon you. When you reach a certain age, it is obligatory upon you to know the knowledge of salah. It is obligatory upon you to know the knowledge of fasting. When you get married, what knowledge do we want? We know where the best wedding hall is. We know who the best cooks are. We know where we can get the best hire cars from. We know all these things. We know where we can get all the best clothes from. But do we know the Islamic rulings of marriage? And when we get married, do we know the Islamic rulings of bringing up our children? Do we understand and read the Islamic rulings of divorce? These are all things that are obligatory upon us. In the same way, your earnings, it is obligatory upon you to know whether your earnings is halal or not. And our deen has given us this guidance. Unfortunately, what happens is we become our own muftis. We decide, oh yeah, it's halal. There's nothing wrong with it, is it? I think it's okay. I'm not a mufti, you're not a mufti. Why should we think it's okay? Ask somebody who is. But what happens is sometimes, in our side, in our hearts, we know it's not right. We know it's not right, and we lie to ourselves. No, it's okay, it's okay. And we're afraid of asking the scholars, because we know when we ask the scholars are going to say, no, it's haram. So we'll say to ourselves, well, I've not asked, and we'll try and hide behind something. You know, you get these people that bury their head in the sand and think, well, I've not asked anybody, so it's okay. Why have you not asked anybody? Why have you hidden away from this? It is your duty to make sure that what you're earning, what you're spending, what you're eating, what you're wearing, what you're driving, everything you have in your possession is halal. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 88, and eat whatever sustenance which Allah has given you, lawful and pure, and fear Allah in whom you believe. In another ayat of the Quran in Surah Baqarah, verse 168, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O people, eat what is lawful and pure on the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that this is what you need to do. Clear instructions. Regarding this ayat in Tafsir Siratul Jinnah, we are told that pure and halal refers to that which is halal in itself, such as mutton, vegetables, and that which is obtained through halal means. Not only the food is halal, like I said earlier on, not only what you're eating is halal, like for example, fruit is halal, but also the money that you have earned, how have you earned it, where have you earned it, what did you do to earn it? Did you earn it in a halal way? And that food will be halal. Just because it's fruit, for example, doesn't mean to say it's halal. Have you earned it in a halal way? And so we know that certain things, certain jobs that we do, certain vices that we do, they are haram. And we should stay away from them. We should have that iman inside us that Allah is the one that is providing for us. If it is in your destiny to become a millionaire, you'll become a millionaire. Now it's up to you whether you want to become a millionaire through halal means or through haram means. If it is not in your destiny to become a millionaire and you'll struggle for all your life, then it's up to you whether you want to struggle on a halal income or struggle on a haram income. That is your choice. What is in your destiny is written. The choice you have is how you want to achieve that. So surely, whatever is in our destiny, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider. We should have that iman that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider. We have that trust in Allah. And maybe the reason we have this problem is we don't have that trust in Allah. And that's why we go and search for haram income. And then we have the other problem. We have what there's a saying in English, keeping up with the Joneses. I don't know if you understand that meaning. Keeping up with the Joneses means, oh, well, they've got a 7-seater car, so we need a 7-seater car. Yeah? They've got a new kitchen, so we need a new kitchen. They've got a new sofa, so we need a new sofa. And because they've got it and you've got it, then we have to try and compete with them. And then what happens is pressure is put on the people, especially the husbands. The pressure is put on them to earn that money to provide that. I remember many years ago, I went and visited a house. Someone had bought a new house. We went and visited. The sisters went there in the back. We were sat in the living room. For half an hour, had a cup of tea, left. When we got in the car, I said to my wife, I said, is Baji happy with the new house? And she said, oh yeah. She showed me the garden. She showed me the kitchen. She showed me the bathrooms. Beautiful house. She was so happy with it. I said, okay. 10 minutes later, she said to me, why did you ask? Why did you want to know why But he was happy or not? And it says, because the brother was crying in the front room. The brother was crying. He was crying in the front room. Because he said to me, brother, how can I afford this house? I'm having to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Because I was giving him dawah to come to the house of Allah to read the namaz. He said, I can't. I haven't got time to read the namaz. Now that's no excuse. But we put so much pressure on our husbands, we put so much pressure on our sons, we put so much pressure on our brothers to provide these things. The demands are never finished. You want a 3-bedroom semi, then you want a 4-bedroom semi. Then you want a 3-bedroom detached, then you want a 4-bedroom detached. You want a 7-seater, that 5-year-old, you want a new 7-seater. You want a sports car, you want a second car, you want this car. It never ends. And because we're not happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, and because of that, when we're running after this dunya, we don't care where it's coming from. Because we've got this priority in our lives that this is what we need to have. We need to have this dunya, we need to have this car, we need to have this house, we need to have these clothes, we need to have these shoes. Our youngsters, they say, well, I need to have these kind of trainers. Your father might not be able to afford you that trainers, might not be able to afford you that jacket. That doesn't give you an excuse to go and earn haram income. And we see the youngsters nowadays. And for the youngsters, it's unfortunately the times of today are such that the youngsters can be enticed very, very easily to earn a haram income. Here in this town, Huddersfield, and in surrounding areas, Dawah Islami has taken it upon themselves, and it happened a lot before the COVID. We were giving drug awareness weeks. We had these sessions where we were talking about drug dealing. And there was a person there, and he said to me, that how do we get these youngsters that are here today? All these youngsters that are here today, how do we make them into drug dealers? We offer them money. We say to them, look, this is what I've got here. Just take it down the road. Hafiz Saab will be there. Give it to Hafiz Saab, and I'll give you £50. And these youngsters are thinking, that's easy. 200 yards down the road, I give this to Hafiz Saab, I'll get £50. So they take it. Now what they don't realize is, halfway down the road, I've got somebody waiting that'll mug that boy, that'll steal that off him. And that boy will come back. And I'll say, okay, did you deliver that? Did you give it to Hafiz Saab? No. Why? What happened? Oh, it was stolen off me. I was mugged. And that dealer will then disgrace that young brother. They'll say to him, you know what? That thing that you had, it was worth £100,000. You owe me £100,000 now. So give me £100,000. I ain't got £100,000. Obviously, he hasn't got £100,000. Well, you're going to have to work for me then. You're going to have to pay off this debt. And so these youngsters, by that greed of £50, by that greed of £100, by that greed of having them trainers, by the greed of these things, they end up committing these sins. So the youngsters that are here today, the youngsters that are watching these programs, no matter how much money people offer you, check with your elders, check with your elder brother, check with your father. Don't make a rash decision and make sure that what is happening to you is halal. Because this sin of earning a haram income, this sin of going down drug dealing, this sin of earning this money, is so easy to go down. Unfortunately, the dunya is such that if you want to become a millionaire, it's very easy. If you want to become a millionaire, I'll give you the remedy. Very, very easy to become a millionaire. Remove the fear of Allah from your heart. If you have no fear of Allah, you can do anything. If you want to live in a halal life, then put the fear of Allah in your heart. Put that fear of Allah in your heart and live according to that. And when you have that fear of Allah in your heart, Amir al-Sunnah, he made this beautiful sticker. You know, all the brothers of Dawah Islami, they have it in the room, they have it in the offices, they have it in the car. Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. Wherever you are, Allah is watching you. And if you have this mindset that Allah is watching me, then inshallah you'll stay away from these haram things, you'll stay away from these things. Today we're talking about halal food, today we're talking about halal income. You will stay away from many sins if you have this mindset that Allah is watching you. With regards to eating halal and earning halal, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that Allah azza wa jalla will illuminate the heart of the one who consumed halal for 40 days, cause a spring of wisdom to gush forth from his tongue and guide him in the world and the hereafter. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever acquired a halal income and then ate from it himself or wore clothes purchased from it and also used to feed and dress others from the creation of Allah azza wa jalla, these actions of his are blessings and purity for him. You can earn sawab, blessings. Blessings by earning halal, spending halal, wearing halal, giving halal, all of these give you extra blessings just by the fact that it's halal. Now if you've got money that's through haram means, and you were haram, you eat haram, you give haram, then you're not going to get any blessings. You're not going to get any blessings. So the remedy is there for you, it's simple. In another hadith, it is narrated that one day, whilst the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his companions, a youngster passed by. Seeing this strong youngster with a solid physique, the companion stated, if only this youngster's youth and strength were used in the way of Allah. Responding to this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if this individual is out in search of sustenance for his young children, he's in the way of Allah. If he's out in search of sustenance for his elderly parents, even so he's in the way of Allah. If he is in the search of sustenance to save himself from having to ask others, then he is in the way of Allah. However, if he's out to show off and boast, then he is in the way of Shaitan. Now again, it's about your intention. When you go out to earn money, what is your intention? So that I can get a nice car and show off in front of people? That I can nice clothes and I can show off in front of people, I can boast in front of people? Or is your intention to earn an halal income, to feed my children, to feed my elder parents, to look after them, to earn some money to spend in the way of Allah? Then all of these, all of that work in itself is the way of Allah. The same thing, you're doing the same action, it's your intention. If your intention are good, then the work will be rewarded as well. But if your intention is bad, then the work, you'll be punished for it as well. Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala said, he made a request before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. He said, pray to Allah that he accepts my dua. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam then said to him, O Sa'ad, make your food pure, your du'as will be accepted. Nowadays, my dear Islam brothers and viewers and inshallah, people face a lot of problems. We all have problems in our homes, with our children, with our spouses, with our families, with our jobs. And everywhere you go, the imams or the scholars will say, do dua. Yeah. Do dua. Inshallah. And you ask people to do dua, and you do dua, so do dua. This is the remedy that everybody gives you. But then you might say to yourself, look, I've been doing dua all this time. My dua is never accepted. I've been doing dua all of this time. I've been doing dua for peace, for comfort in my house. I've got problems with my children. I've got problems with my partner. I've been doing dua so long, my duas are not accepted. Maybe, and in most cases, most definitely, the reason why your duas are not accepted, and if you look in the mirror in the morning, when you get up in the morning, that person that you look at in the mirror, that is the reason why your duas are not accepted. Our actions, the way we live our lives in such a way, our du'as are not accepted. We're earning haram income, how can our du'as be accepted? We're eating haram food, how can our du'as be accepted? We're committing sins like backbiting, stealing, swearing, breaking promises, watching films and dramas, listening to music, how can our du'as be accepted? Do you think that Allah Azza wa Jalla will listen to you when you're not listening to what He has told you to do? We're not listening to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We don't come to the masjid and read our namaz, and yet our du'a, we say, why is our du'as not accepted? The month of Ramadan comes, we don't fast in the month of Ramadan, but our du'as are not accepted. Have you never thought to yourself, why are my du'as not accepted? Have you ever thought to yourself, when you hear the stories of the pious predecessors, that they would raise their hands, they would do du'a, and the du'as would be accepted instantly? How many stories have we heard that when it wasn't raining, the pious predecessors would raise their hands, do du'a, and it started raining? Me and you, we raise our hands, we can say, Ya Allah, please bring rain. It won't rain. Why did it rain for that person? It didn't rain for us. Because of us. We are the problem. And we need to look at ourselves and say to ourselves, why are our du'as not accepted? And then only unless we are honest with ourselves. And that again is the problem that we are facing as Muslims. We're not honest with ourselves. You know, when you go to the doctors, he takes the blood out. When he takes the blood out, he looks at the blood. And he can say to you after, well, you've got cholesterol, you've got sugar, and you change your life. If you've got cholesterol, you'll stay away from fatty foods and you'll change your life accordingly, because now you know what your state is. You're looking at me today, you do not know whether I've got cholesterol, you do not know whether I've got sugar, you can't tell. So you do a test. And once you've done a test, you realize, have I got cholesterol? Have I got sugar? And if you've got sugar, you adjust your life. If you've got cholesterol, you adjust the life. But in the same way, from a spiritual point of view, you need to do your own assessment. Am I earning halal? Am I eating halal? Am I lying? Am I swearing? Am I breaking promises? Am I watching films and dramas? Am I listening to music? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? And ask yourself. You have to be your own doctor. You don't mind being your own mufti, but you don't want to be your own doctor. Be your own doctor as well. And ask yourself, am I committing these sins? And then once you know, the problem is, one of the problems is we don't know what the sins of the soul are. That's one problem. We do not know what the diseases of the heart are. Many people you say to them, what is backbiting? They won't know. What is gossiping? They won't know. Slandering? They won't know. We need to learn these things. Why is it we know about cholesterol? We know about sugar. We know high sugar, low sugar. We know about all of these things. High iron levels, low iron levels. We know all about these things. But we don't know about the diseases of the heart. Backbiting, swearing, slandering, breaking promises. We don't know about these diseases. Again, it is our duty to find out about these. And until we start to rectify ourselves, until we start to cure ourselves from these diseases, only then will our du'as be accepted. And like we're talking about today, we need to look. Look at our income, look at our livelihood and see to ourselves. Am I eating a halal income? It is stated once that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah ta'ala, he went to a place called Tartus and he was looking for a halal income. He's looking for a job, looking to earn a halal income. And he was offered a job in a vineyard where they have these grapes. To look after the vineyard. He was looking after the vineyard. And one day the owner of the vineyard came, and he came with his friends. And the owner said to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, he didn't know that this person was Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam. For him, he was just a worker. He said to him, can you bring us some sweet grapes? My friends are here. We want to eat some sweet grapes. So Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, he went into the vineyard. He pulled some grapes off, put them on a plate and brought them there. And when the owner of the vineyard ate the grapes, he realized they were sour. They weren't ripe. They weren't sweet. And he said to him, you've been working here so long. Do you not know what a sweet grape is and a sour grape is? You've probably been eating grapes all morning and night, all day long. You've been eating grapes and you cannot tell the difference between a sweet one and a sour one. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah said, for the time that I've been working here, I've never ate one grape. Because you employ me to look after these grapes. You did not give me permission to eat one grape. Do we have that taqwa inside ourselves? Do we have that taqwa inside ourselves? And that person said to his friends, he said, look at this person, how pious he is. He must be like Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam. Didn't know it was Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam. He must be like that person. Do we have that taqwa? Or when we get the opportunity, we steal a bit of this, we take a little bit of this, take a little bit of that. Oh, there's loads left over, I'll take it home. So many people work in certain industries. You might be, I don't know, a bricklayer. I'm just taking an example. And where you work in the laying bricks, and you need a dozen bricks. Oh, it's only 12 bricks, what difference does it make? You know, they're building houses, say 20,000 bricks, I only need 12. What's wrong if I take one bag of cement? What's wrong if I take a bit of this, they've got loads. I just need a bit of a drain pipe, I just need a tap, I just need this, I just need that, and you take it home. All of this is haram for us. And again, these sort of things, because this is stealing. This tarbiyah needs to be given to our children. And I usually say to my children, don't come home with bags of cement, but our children, when they're going to school, sometimes they might see something at school, a pen, a football, a ball, and they bring it home. What do we do as parents? We should ask that child, where have you got that? Where did you pick that up from? I didn't buy it, you. Who gave it you? And if you realize that they have picked that up by mistake, not knowing, then make sure they take it back. And take them back and put it back. You know, if you find something on the floor, you cannot pick it up. Leave it there, because the owner might come back and realize he'd left it there. Leave it there. We say, no, I'll pick it up and I'll find the owner. I'll go and find him. Yeah, we've kept it in our pocket for 2 weeks. Oh, we can't find the owner. Oh, man, I'll keep it. Right? No, leave it there. And again, these are all things that if you look at yourself, these are the reasons why we are in this state where our du'as are not accepted. Why are we in this state where every household has problems? And unless we are honest with ourselves, we will not realize what's happening to ourselves. Allahu Akbar. This is a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says that a time will come upon people when a person will not care for where he acquired wealth from, whether it is a haram or halal. He will not be bothered. Mufti Ahmad Khan Nimi Rahmatullah states, in the end of times, people will not care about religion. The concern for money will cause them to face all sorts of issues. They will act daring in earning anything, halal or haram, to increase their income and save money. They will not care. A time will come. They're told a time will come where they will not care about where the money is coming from. They will not care what, how they're getting it, as long as they're getting it. Is that time not now? And all of you, we are all the brothers that are here, all the brothers that are watching this program now, we go out, we earn money, we try to earn as much money as possible. But do you know on the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, your spouse, your partner, your wife, your children, they will say to you that this person, that person, you've been working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for them. They will say on the day of judgment, this person did not give us Islamic knowledge. This person gave us haram. This person fed us haram. And all of your good deeds will be taken away from you. For the same people that you're running around day and night from, on the day of judgment, they will take all your good deeds away from you. And when you have no good deeds left to give to them, the sins will come to you. For those people that you run around 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, not caring where the money's come, if they want something that you cannot afford, then you have to make them understand that, look, I can't afford it. At the same time, our sisters should not be as demanding as well. They need to understand that we need to live by simple means, not wanting gold all the time, not wanting a new kitchen extension every 5 minutes, not wanting a new sofa every 10 minutes. No, again, live by your means. But no, we want to live because the neighbors have got it, because they've got it. We need to adjust ourselves and live our lives according to our means and be happy with whatever Allah has given us. This is another problem. We're not thankful. Well, why has he got a car? He's got a house. He's got a big koti back home. Why? You know when you go down this route of why? Why has he got it? Why has he got this? Why has he got this? Because you are now questioning what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Be thankful whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, whatever he's given you. If he's given you a lot, be thankful. If he's given you a little, be thankful. And the other problem we have, we look here. We always look there. Yo, look what he's got. Oof. Look down. We're sitting here in Huddersfield in the UK. And the majority of people that are sitting here today, more than likely, you've probably got more cash in your pocket right now than people in the park in the subcontinent earning a full month. People over there earning £50 a month, £60 a month. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us so much, and yet we still complain. Why have I not got this? Why have I not got that? Why can't I do this? He goes on Umrah 3 times a year, I've not been on Umrah. He goes on a trip, he goes on holiday 2 times a year, I've not been on holiday. He does this, he does that. Let them do it. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them that. Their test is how they use that wealth. Your test is how you are thankful without that wealth. Each way is a test. If Allah tests you without wealth, that's your test. If Allah tests you with wealth, that's your test. But both tests are not easy. No thing to, oh, I'd rather have the test of wealth. The test of wealth is not easy. When you look at the people of the past, the pious people of the past, they would run away from wealth. They would run away from wealth. It is stated that when the first dirham was minted, Shaitan kissed it and said, whoever loves this will be my slave. How many times have we seen people actually kissing money, astaghfirullah? This is the act of Shaitan. We need to change our mindset, change our goals. This dunya, it doesn't last for long. We're here for a small time. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 120 years. You're not going to be living there much longer. How long is the eternity? The eternity is affinity. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once gave the example. He put his finger into the ocean. He said, if you put your finger in the ocean and you put your finger out, then this water that is on your finger, this is the dunya. This water is the dunya. The water that is in the ocean is the akhirat. We run after this. You know, next time you go to the ocean, or next time you go to a river, put your finger in the river, check it out, and look at your finger. And if it's a decent weather, it'll dry, and that water will disappear. Then look at the river, look at the ocean. You can stand there all day, all night, it will not disappear. That's disappeared. How foolish are we that we run after this, so we don't run after that. And when we run after this, not only do we run after this, but in running after this, which is going to disappear very soon, we commit all sorts of sins. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Money Channel, time is very, very short. But I request you all that we need to ask ourselves, why are we facing the problems that we are facing? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is paradise for those who earn halal. We need to look at our priorities. What do we want to achieve in this dunya? If you want to achieve that house, that big car, alhamdulillah, you will achieve it. Now what I'm saying to you, and please make sure I'm saying to you, that getting a big car, getting a big house is not haram. I'm not saying that. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you such that you can have a big house, have a big car. There's nothing wrong in having a big house, nothing wrong in having a big car, nothing wrong in having plenty of money, nothing wrong in doing all these things. But if in achieving that, if in achieving them goals that you want, you're committing sins, then that is wrong. If you achieve that by through halal means, then Allah will reward you. There's nothing wrong in having these goals. Wanting nice, I want a nice house, I want a nice car. Who doesn't want nice things? But if as a result of achieving or trying to achieve them things, we commit the sins of earning haram, there's no benefit in it at all. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Money Channel, please make a change in your life. Wake up and change. We said it many times before, we only have 3 days in our life, yesterday, today and tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. All we can do about yesterday is repent, do tawbah. Tomorrow, nobody here can sign me a piece of paper and say, brother, you will be alive tomorrow. Nobody can give me that certificate. So as Muslims, the only day that we have is today. And Amir Yusuf says on Monday channel that the war against Shaitan will continue. What is that war? That war against Shaitan is not, oh, I'll gather you all outside, give you all baseball bats and we'll walk down the road. That's not the war. The war against Shaitan is your own personal war. But if you want the war against Shaitan, the real war against Shaitan, 4:45 tomorrow morning. That's the battle. You need to ask yourself, am I going to win that battle? Or is Shaitan going to win that battle? Please make sure that you don't let Shaitan win any of your battles, personal battles. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, send it to me, Allah Azza wa Jalla, forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyin ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.